Dearest ones, from my perspective, the universe is one great laugh. And you are also a joke. So what is your story? And what within you brings joy to the world? With Jesus? And what is your ode to joy with Gautama? Consider a new life today of joy. And of how every day in some way you may play and pray and embalm the world in your jokester selfhood, bringing laughter, levity, and lings little things to play in the lives of others. I believe that all of you have known someone that was a prankster in this life. How did you feel when the prank was on you? Maybe not so funny in the moment, and yet look at that prank from the other person's point of view, and you can laugh at yourself. Ha ha ha. Well, God is quite a prankster, for he made you. And if at any time you think, you feel that you are less than, that somehow you are not good enough, don't think at all. Just be with me, Buddhima, a Buddha being, in love with joy, in light, in the presence, and in a fun, spirited way, all your travails will disappear. All your hurts will dissolve. All your pains will be no more. All the past will be as the foam upon the ocean shores, temporary. And when the sun comes out to play, they will dissolve right before your eyes. To make your ascension, you simply must have joy within your heart. How can you ascend if there is a doom and gloom attitude within you? There is no way, Fun Wei says. Therefore, join him in that way which is both holy and full of levity, that is both reverent and joyous, that is both sacred and secure in the understanding that the laughing Buddha Maitreya brings today and every day to those who would rub his belly and, through the magic of divine glee, the mystery of life will be revealed. and a new earth will come into play through your smile. It was my nature to be happy, and I expect you to be happy too. No matter what you go through, dearest ones, for happiness lights your way home. Happiness allows you to sing all the way back to your source. Happiness is the model for the Aquarian age man, woman, and child. I have set my seal upon each of you during your laughing sessions, during your meetings, and at times I have attempted to tickle your feet, but some of you had shoes on, so how could I do it? Well, you're not laughing now, and I don't know if you're going to laugh at any of my jokes. So take your shoes off now, and your socks, or your stockings, and I am assigning one of my little Buddha elementals to come and tickle your feet. So, when you feel it, you can raise your hand. And then I'll know, and everyone will know, that I am real and really here. Now, do you have a soul? Touch it. Where is it? On the foot, dummy. Okay. Can you rub your tummy and pat your head at the same time? Now switch hands. Can you beat your chest and your back at the same time? Switch hands. You're not all doing this. Come on, everyone. I don't care how old you are or young you are. Okay, can you find your funny bone? Ouch. Ooh. Yes, I found it. But I don't feel funny when I touch it. Do you?
No.
I feel, ouch! Sometimes I come to play with you, yet you are too serious to enjoy my company. Therefore, how can we get beyond the seriousness of what some perceive as a spiritual path to the point of the now, where you put aside all preconceptions, you allow the illumination of the sun of your presence to shine forth in the present moment, and then, with great happiness and inner joy, you enter the new world of your heart, the new spirit that God provides for you in the moment. Did you know that there is a connection between your solar plexus and your crown? This connection becomes secure through the sun of your solar plexus, merging with the sun of your crown chakra through joy. Now, how can this happen, you ask? You raise yourself up in your own sight to perceive as the sun perceives, to feel as the sun feels, to view and cherish life as the sun does. And in that natural state of beingness, little starts of levity begin to arise within you and lift your spirit and bring happiness to all in your vicinity. Now, who is, in your own estimation, the funniest comedian you have ever known? We'll go around the room. Choose only one, not two or three, and shout the name out for all to hear. We'll start over here. The funniest comedian.
Kim Conley.
Bill Murray.
Don Hermans.
Who?
Don Hermans.
Don Hermans?
Don Hermans.
Oh, okay, sorry. That was a joke, but yeah.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Dean Anderson.
Dean Anderson.
Me.
Me? All right. Daniel Peterson said me.
Tom Miller.
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal.
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters.
Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball. I'll add Robin Williams. Steve Martin.
Carol Burnett.
That's two for you. That's on a... Come on. You don't listen. Who's that?
George Carlin.
George Carlin. Did somebody say Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
Okay. So what about each of these made you laugh and continue to laugh? And what about their methodologies and jokes and ways made such an impression on you that you remembered their names and something about them? Anyone? Come to a microphone. And those on the broadcast can also type in their favorite comedians, because there's many, many more.
I recall the first spiritual conference that I went to many, many years ago. I was just still pretty young, and I appreciated the humor. If there was any humor at all going to be there, I really appreciated it. And I do remember that still stands out in my mind, that Tom Miller was kind of, I don't know, I think he gave a lecture, but he also gave some other talks, and he was kind of making fun of himself a little bit. And I found it was over the years also that he has had the ability to kind of raise people's consciousness through very witty and consciousness raising jokes and plays on words. And the thing that I remember is it was a 4th of July conference, and I don't know, he's making some kind of a joke about the bald eagle, and he just turned sideways and he was kind of talking about himself because he was kind of getting a little thin on top there.
All right. And his knighted name was Sir Theo Bold. And everybody laughed when he got it.
I mentioned the name Toon Hermans. He is a Dutch comedian. He passed on, though. And I liked him much because of his simplicity. He used all-day gatherings so you could connect with him very easily. And the simplicity, and never that I can remember, he made fun of really someone else in a nasty way, because he was not very political at all. It was just all usually the experiences of people, and he just brought it in a simplistic and humoristic way. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Dana Christian. I think Mark Twain, actually, is probably one of the greatest in history. He wouldn't call himself a comedian, probably, but he might. I don't know. But satire, the kernel of reality that makes things funny is it's at the core of the joke or the humor. And it's good satire. It's actually really lacking. There's a real absence of it in our political commentary. It's almost politically incorrect to make fun of anything, or you have to watch how you do it and watch what you say. And Mark Twain said stuff like, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. the older I get, the more I remember everything, even if it never happened. And actually, our founding fathers, if you look at some of their letters, there was great wisdom. And along with the wisdom, there's some levity and satire. So.
Great. Thank you. And Will Rogers is another one that had the same amazing wit. He was one of Lanella's favorites. Okay, anybody else?
Daniel Brinkley.
Oh, what a jokester. In his presence, you can't help but laugh and be lifted up, right?
They called Saint Germain Saint Jerry.
Yeah, they called Saint Germain just Jerry or Saint Jerry?
Saint Jerry.
Saint Jerry, and some people didn't like that, but I thought it was great.
Well, here's the show that I'm not all that egotistical, because when Daniel R. Peterson said, that he thinks he's the most humorous person of the age. But here's a teaching that you might have drawn out of that. A sign that you get the Aquarian age is that you're happy and jovial. But since I said that a lot of these people have passed on, but at least I can see new situations, new humor, and it's new things are happening in new ways, so I might as well think that I'm off my rocker with the best of them.
All right, thank you.
I think from my perspective, some of the most successful humor starts out, it's formulaic, it starts out with a little bit of a preamble that is describes something that you can just look at intellectually, and then when the punchline, or at some point, it switches gears and it relates to something, it relates the whole situation to something that you yourself have experienced, and it surprises you. And I think that's the fact that they kind of suckered you into thinking of it one way, and then it actually went another way, is what makes it tickles you, I think. You know, it's
great.
The punchline.
Wonderful.
Shaggy dog story, you know.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I mentioned somewhere, maybe it was on YouTube, and this is David, not Booty Ma, of course, that George Carlin was really funny. And, you know, he would swear and use the F word and stuff like that. Yet at the very core of what he shared was a lot of truth. He would expose things and expose the inanities and insanities of the way that we do things in modern society to make us think and to jolt us out of the box of where we have put ourselves in sometimes. So even sometimes people that are irreverent and that we don't really relate to because their language is a little foul, can actually shake people up. And there are a few more like him who are comedians today. And most of us don't spend time necessarily watching them. I love Jay Leno. I mean, I think he's fantastic. David Letterman is funny. However, for whatever reason, personally, I don't really appreciate him as much. Maybe it's because of his political following and what I also see in his aura that I don't think is very wholesome. You know, sometimes when I see him, I see what he does in his personal life, and I don't really like that. And I think some of you know what I mean. So, somebody else?
Old boy cheated, so I will too. The other person that came to my mind that I think is for many, many years totally hilarious was Victor Borge. He's a concert pianist, and so he would go into all these like amazing pieces of music, and then he was Danish, I believe, and so he had a lot of jokes that had to do with funny things about language, or he would take one thing that was like a tiny bit funny and stretch it into a gigantically funny situation. So
Bob Hope is another one, of course. Iconic figure in America and the world. So we've kind of morphed from a heart stream to sharing, and laughter and levity does help us in accessing our Buddha nature through the mastery and the releasing of tension and pressure in the solar plexus area. So on the spiritual path, a lot of times disciples, chelas, will get stuck because they're so intense on winning or accomplishing or attaining or doing. And they set up around their solar plexus almost what Bodhi Ma is showing me is like this iron brass plate. And it's not the positive thing that we use to protect ourselves. It's this thing where they get stuck because they're just so intense about everything. And I can tell you from my personal experience, I was like that for a long time in my life. And I was just like, I didn't like it when people were too lighthearted about stuff. I was really set on the spiritual path. And Bodhi Ma is telling us, please lighten up, you know. Get rid of this pressure that sometimes comes around you that people don't like when they're in your presence because you're too intense. You're a type A personality. You're just driving home. You're trying to make everybody do everything the right way, blah, blah, blah. Well, that doesn't help people to give their highest gifts of spirit. When people feel creative and loving, that's what you have to engender and get them in the mode of their creativity. So whatever we can do to augment and appreciate and facilitate people feeling natural, feeling high in a good sense, and joyous, let's do it, because that's when they can access their true Buddha nature. And new insights, new creativity, blessings, boons, benevolence, and abundance. If you look back at your life when somehow you received some greater form of abundance, Bodhi Ma is telling us, you will find a point where you were in the zone through joy and happiness. You will always find that because it's a portal to abundance. Joy, and write this down, joy is a portal to abundance and the abundant life. Joy is a portal to abundance and the abundant life. And if you desire greater abundance, be joyous, be happy. It magnetizes through your open solar plexus, the sun, fire, light of God into your being. And part of that precipitates as golden liquid light energy, which can be gold, which can be abundance. If you're morose, can you receive abundance? Hardly. not the highest form of abundance. If you're dour or you're sour or you have a sour belly because you've eaten the wrong foods, ones that you know don't digest well or that aren't good combination, can you magnetize more abundance? Hardly. When you're happy and you make everyone around you happy, then what happens? It happens. So, a joke a day keeps the entities away. You can write that one down. Like an apple a day keeps the doctor away, a joke a day, it has to be a good joke, keeps the entities away. Why does levity and why does comedic laughter keep entities away? Anybody?
They don't like levity. They,
They don't like levity.
They can't work with it. Get to where they are, right?
They flee from light because levity is light. They can't handle it. And so when you're laughing, what happens? Remember Mark Prophet was told one time to laugh and Lucifer left? And just think of Santa Claus. I mean, he's always laughing. Ho, ho, ho. And away we go. Okay, we're going to reflect now. So just reflect. Oh, okay. Any sharings from those on the broadcast?
Two people mentioned.
Okay.
Comedians Jim Carrey, and another one said Flip Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many more. I mean, if we ask for your favorite, now you can say anybody that comes to mind.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
David
Lewis. Who? Who's that?
David
Lewis. Okay. Peter Sellers. Yeah.
So I always knew that God had a sense of humor because we have sense of humors. And there's something that happens to us when we're laughing is that you're in the no mind. You can't think. You're in this Buddhic state. And reflecting on that, you're in this zone of bliss.
Great. Thank you. Okay, now, did everybody take off their shoes and socks? You felt the tickling? Okay. Now, your assignment is to go to lunch like this. Not. Okay, go ahead.
Robin Williams did a movie about this, Patch Adams, about the power of laughter for healing. So.
And he's a real person. Patch Adams is a real person.
Yeah, he really made a medical center on the East Coast that healed people through
laughter.
Good feelings and laughter and everything else. But I have to mention Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul from the 50s. Really great.
All right, Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul. Okay, keep going. Keep them coming.
I think one of the things, you take like a Red Skelton, Bob Hope, and some of those people like that, they got you into a momentum. And once you've already laughed, it's easier to laugh another second or two or 3 seconds. Before that, you just kind of keep going, and then they would just kind of keep adding to the plot or what have you like that, the humor like that. And so the real good guys kept you on a roll where you were basically laughing all the time. And so that's got to be a talent for sure.
I'd have to say Kerry Johnson and Mark Prophet.
Yes.
Okay, Mark Prophet. I mean, Lanello. Okay. Who else? Just shout him out.
David Kyle.
David Kyle. He makes me laugh.
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr. Oh, okay.
This is kind of off topic, but it's kind of hit me this morning as a way to dispel doubts about being able to attract supply. There is an abundance of God in the universe.
Absolutely.
Think about that one.
Because the whole universe is God.
I just wanted to take us to Budhima just a minute.
because some of you don't know this, perhaps. She was a Montessori teacher for a long time, and she had a very deep, profound love for children. And when I first came to Montana in late 88, I had all six of my children with me initially, and four of them were under seven. And we moved into a two-story house that's just down the street on Park on Yellowstone, and around the corner, lo and behold, there was Alberta Huff with her own little school, her own little Montessori school that she ran in a house that she lived in, and she transformed into a school.
Wonderful.
And she was just had so much joy with the children. They absolutely loved to go there, and she really encouraged their creativity. And the other thing I just wanted to mention is that I witnessed Alberta go through a very, very deep and serious tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And she really showed who she is through the way she handled
dealt with it.
Yeah.
Was it somebody passing on in her life?
Yes.
Her husband?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah.
Mona, you've got to say something.
The Galvins say Phyllis Diller and Don Knotts.
Oh, yeah, of course. Phyllis Diller. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Don Knotts. So some of you felt the tickling. Raphael felt it. Okay, good. And those of you on the broadcast, if you live in a place where there's not a lot of snow on the ground, you can go outside in your bare feet and pretend you're a child again. Okay.
As we're talking about humor and all these different people, Johnny Carson came to mind, and how he is sitting there and talking with someone and went through the conversation. All of a sudden they say something that he finds very unique to them and humorous, and he goes, "You mean you did what?" And he just brings that out. And I think that's what all comedians do, is they find what's unique. And I'm thinking about humor and just trying to take it on a deeper level for myself personally, as far as understanding it. And I think for me, it lightens the situation, but it also sheds a little light on that person or whoever the humor is centered on or, you know, with, where you can connect in a way that's really safe and beautiful and loving. I mean, humor can be very nasty, but I'm talking about in its highest good way. So it creates a really, really high moment, and it allows you to act more Buddhic. And I remembered an incident when I used to teach preschool, and the kids every once in a while would start arguing among themselves. And I was in a situation where it was a parent participation preschool, and I was teaching the parents how to interact with the kids. And so the kids were arguing over the water table, and I looked over and I was smiling and just watching and observing. And that is an action I think we do with humor. We hone in and we really pay attention, and we're just right there in the present. And one of the parents said afterwards, "You didn't get upset about that." And because I didn't get upset about it, they didn't get so nervous and upset, and they could see a softness and a humor. It's just like, oh, there's those two boys again. They're still not getting along. And then you're still in your presence, and you can, you know, approach the situation and not add to it in any negative way. So humor, I'm just thinking, is it's just really powerful, really powerful.
Thank you. Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Steve Allen.
Yeah.
Henny Youngman.
Benny Youngman.
Henny Youngman.
Oh, Henny Youngman. Okay. We can go on and on. So just remembering them makes us laugh internally, right? Okay, we're actually at the end of this sharing, and it's time for announcements and then lunch in a few minutes.